So I'm going to start today with the same scripture that I finished with 2 weeks ago, because some of you want to be out of here before 2 o'clock. So, okay, Matthew 16, verse 18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. That still promise is still true today. God is still building his church, and we're thankful for that. Now, I don't know how many football fans we have out there, but one of the things that I've seen lately, and this is just as an illustration, especially in the NFL and in the college football, CFL is whatever it is, these games go for 4 hours, so there's no way we're going to sit down and watch 4 hours. But Jamie and I may sit down and watch a little bit, and then, you know, after about 20 minutes, it's okay, there's enough of this already, and because most of the time it's commercials. And but one of the things we've noticed is that, you know, one team will get a good lead. And then you come back 2.5, 3 hours later, and it's like, well, what happened to that lead? The other team is now leading, and the momentum has swung. In fact, I think they said a record number of games in NFL history. I don't know how many were played up till now because they started late, but 19 went into overtime simply because one team had the lead, and then all of a sudden the momentum changed, and the other team got going. Either they won or somebody won in overtime, but there was a momentum swing. You know, when we talk about on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it, I'm wondering, you know, we might be wondering right now, how is God going to build his church right now? It seems like, you know, we're doing what we can to survive, but always remember, we're more than overcomers. We're not survivors. We're overcomers. And I really believe, and I see this with other ministers and Christians that I talk to, that there is a momentum change coming. And we're going to see things happen in the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit that we've never seen before. We're going to see things happen in your family and in this church and around the world that have never happened before. There's a momentum change coming. We're kind of at halftime, but we're going into the second half, and I like I say, many can sense that. So I thank God for that. Okay, so we started there. We're going to go to, Lord willing, there we go, to a couple of illustrations here in the Word of God, and they're pretty straightforward. These are stories that you probably know. Sometime later, the brook dried up. All right, so the prophet is there. This is Elijah? Yeah, Elijah, prophet Elijah. And so there's a famine going on. And so I'm kind of cutting into the story in the middle. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there has been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug, and I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. A little illustration here of the hopelessness that this woman saw. She didn't have much left. She's just preparing that there's no hope for her. So she's going to go, and she's going to prepare this last meal, and she's going to die. And along comes the prophet. Now, you could, if you're a bug on the wall, or whatever, you can hear what the critics are saying. Oh, yeah. There goes that prophet preacher. The widow's got hardly anything left, and he's going to go clean her out. Typical preacher, eh? Feast on the widows, eh? Steal all the crumbs of bread that she has. That's typical. But the bottom line is, God had a different plan. And when she gave what she had to God, he multiplied it, and there was no lack. I need to add the extra verse here. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me for what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord of the God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." So she went away and did as Elijah told her. There was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. Amen. What can you give to the Lord? Sometimes, you know, you may be feeling this morning that you have very little to offer God because it seems like there's a famine in our land. It's like, what can I do but prepare for the worst? Well, I think this is a good example. Give what you have and watch the Lord bless it. Give what you have, you know, and just see what he can do. You know, if we just give it to God rather than and look for, okay, I'm just going to give this to God. I don't know what he can do with it. There's not much here. But I'll give. It's like the widow that gave the two mites. You know, give what you got, even though you think there's a famine. The second illustration is another one that's very familiar to you from Luke chapter 9, verses 13 to 17. There we go. And this is, of course, the disciples and Jesus feeding the 5,000 men plus. So they're okay, this isn't a famine, but they're in a remote place. You might feel you're in a remote place this morning. But God still will supply your need and beyond. So he's telling these disciples, you give them something to eat. It's like, really? Yeah. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Amen. In the last story, there is a famine. In this story, we're in a remote place. He tells them to feed the crowd. And Matthew, I think in Matthew and John, they said, you know, if we're going to feed the crowd, it's going to take at least 8 months' wages to go and buy enough food to feed this whole group. And according to John, there was a boy with the small 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. All the disciples could see was lack. And what, you know, they bring these 5 small loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus, and they say, it's like, what's this amongst so many? And that might be the way you're feeling this morning. I don't have anything of my own. I know I can go get something, but it's not big enough to fit the need, eh? But you know what? Go get it anyways. And so they did what Jesus said and followed his instructions. And this is a great time right now just to wait upon the Lord. It's like, God, what are you telling me? What's my instructions for today? You know, people are seeking to find the will of God. You just need to wake up every morning and say, God's given me, Jesus said that everything hangs on these 2 things. Love God, love your neighbors, yourself. I'm waking up this morning, it's like, God, how can I love you and how can I love my neighbor? Give me some instructions and you'll be in the will of God. Amen. Praise God. You can't go wrong with that. All right. All they could see was lack. There was plenty for all. And so if you feel you're in a remote place this morning, go find something and give it to God. And just see. I don't know what that is because I don't know all your situations. I know our situation. And we're, you know, just let's just find something and give it to God. Now, you know, even in Psalms chapter, we know this scripture too. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Even David found that out. Despite all of his problems and despite all of his sin. Again, when we participate of the Lord's table, it's not about us. It's about what Jesus did. And we're going to fail, but he never fails. And we can trust him. Then the turning point in history happened, and that's what we celebrated this morning. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You can have the widow, you can have the disciples and the fish, but then something happened, and that's what's awesome and what we experience. Following that, like they never experienced salvation, but following the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we experience salvation. And because he sent the Holy Spirit to earth, not only are we born of the Holy Spirit indwells us, we have the gifts of the Spirit that we, you know, to edify the body. We have the fruit of the Spirit that, you know, will spring up in our life when we can help everybody around us. So we really don't need to go find something. All we have that we need is within us, and that's called the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. And so this put a whole new dimension on the blessing of God in our life. And so let's keep going here, Ralph. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And it's like we have. And the Holy Spirit is a person. We don't have a part of the Holy Spirit. We have the whole person of the Holy Spirit in us. And so whatever we allow him to work in our life, that's what's going to happen. And so then also let's turn to 1 Peter. This is the way Peter puts it. He says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God, God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So you have. You don't have to necessarily go searching for everything. God has gifted you. Use that gifting to bless others. You know, and in doing so, you will be blessing the Lord. Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer them, don't you know, when you cared for one of the least of these my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you demonstrated love for me. When we look after each other, when we love each other, when we use the giftings and callings and ministries that God has given us to edify the body of Christ and to help our neighbor and to love our neighbor and to help these people in Ethiopia and other places around the world, we have demonstrated God's love and God is pleased. Now, so never get in despair. Never get in hopelessness because you've got nothing, you feel you have nothing to contribute. You got lots to contribute. Every one of you have got something to contribute. And allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, through you to others. And in doing so, you are pleasing to God. Amen. Be encouraged, folks. Amen. You have something. And there's a lot of things in you yet that the Holy Spirit has planted that you've yet to discover. And it doesn't matter what your age is, whether you're online, whether you're here, whether you're a child, God has in place things on you. And some of you are like Timothy. You've had some things prophesied over you by the laying on of hands. You need to stir those gifts back up again. Let's get going. and let's go for God. Amen. Stand with me and we'll dismiss. Been a little longer than I planned on. There you go. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you again today that you're still on the throne. Nobody's kicked you off. We're thankful, Lord, that Jesus Christ is right there with you, seated in heavenly places, and we are in Christ. So we are up there. We're up there with you above all principalities and powers, and everything is under our feet. Help us to realize that, Lord, and that becomes our reality, just how powerful the Holy Spirit is in our lives, just how powerful it is for us to be seated in heavenly places. And Lord, I just send these folks out today, and those at home, just send them out that this is a earth-changing week because of heaven's power in us. We thank you. We have lots to offer. Lord, again, we just pray for those that are really not feeling well, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, as we participated in your in the Lord's table this morning, in the communion, in the Eucharist, whatever we want to call it. We just thank you, Lord, that there's power in the blood. And there's everything was carried for us. And we just pronounce healing on those that are not feeling well today. We pronounce total health. We pronounce an end to bills. Some people have had to go into debt the way they never wanted to. But Lord, you are our provider. You are more than enough. You're the God that teaches us to prosper in all things. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're healing this week and even today broken relationships. We just pray, Lord, for bringing the kids in, for bringing in the grandkids, for bringing in the aunts and uncles and cousins. Like there's going to be a great harvest. I don't care what's going on out there. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work amongst people. And we're going to see some wonderful things happen. So we just thank you for the anointing upon everyone here today. We just send them out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.